let's kind of go through. Do we have any time constraints that I need to be aware of, guys? Any hard stops?
Nothing on my end. If you see me kind of looking to the side, I have a different CE credit going down. That this was the only time I could get ethics. So I don't mind if I'm looking on that side. So
okay.
Yeah, I've got to run at 11:45. We got a new advisor signing contract today, so got to run that meeting with Brandt.
Okay. Well, I hope I'm to good. Be done by then. Yeah.
Mario's going to hang around for the whole day.
Yeah. I'm good too.
Tomorrow.
Okay. So let's start with just some basic updates in terms of how things are going with you all individually, in terms of your embracing, you know, a lot of the concepts that we've been discussing, and any roadblocks you might be having. So let's start with you, Lenny.
Yeah, things are going well personally with me. You know, my personal production, I think, is going extremely well. Okay. We are in the works of bringing a client service associate in that I help out tremendously. I think the things that have been not necessarily roadblocks, but disappointments would be, you know, when an advisor, you know, meets with like a client that was maybe mine or Mario's or Mike's, you know, doesn't really kind of informs us, but then doesn't put us on the case. You know, it's like, hey, I met with your client, Curtis. You're like, oh, great. You know, let me know how it goes. And then you're like, oh, you did new business with them. Like, what? Like, so kind of addressing that in a courteous manner.
Okay. We call that poaching.
Yes. So, you know,
exactly. It is poaching.
It's definitely poaching. So, you know, being able to work as a team, because I feel that ruins the trust between all of us. And we really like to say, hey, just have a conversation. You know, we'll go from there. Cause I think Mike, Mario, and myself all agree the lead is worth a lot. You know, the lead is huge. You know, like the fact that they even know us is probably majority reason why they're getting it. So I would say, that's one big one. Disappointment. And then, maybe just kind of, you know, we have a couple leaders underneath us now that, you know, and we could talk about it, you know, that Mario and myself have brought along, and Mike has really been helping, you know, coach and grow them. But within Equitable, we're still able to produce. But the production has gone down. Even though 90%, it's gone down tremendously. So
your production has gone down 90%.
No, the advisors that we promoted.
Oh, the advisors we promoted into a leadership role have gone down tremendously.
Okay.
So I don't know if that's like a time management thing. I will give some credit to COVID. Some of them moved, and it's been hard since they've moved to kind of work that market. So there's some for that, but to have such a big drop off is a little scary to me. So.
Okay. Okay.
So those are my main concerns. I guess I had more than I thought. So.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a whole meeting today.
Yeah, but, sorry.
Let me have the meeting this one.
No.
I mean, that's basically what we discussed before we came on this meeting. So those are all the concerns. I think the only other one we talked about too was, like, we have some advisors that are doing well.
Okay.
But when we meet with them or try to help them or try to coach them, it's just not received at all. So it's like, do we just leave them alone and just touch base with them once in a while until they come to us and help other people grow? Like you were saying before.
Right.
Just we try to help them and it's like we lose our mind because they don't want the help and they don't seem to care, but they're doing okay.
All right. Okay. All right. And Michael, do you have anything that's on your mind?
Mario and Lenny got a good grouping of it. I do think it's the challenges of new managers in our business, obviously, is, you know, trying to do two things at the same time. You know, they've always been producers and all of a sudden now they're recruiting and training and developing. And it's kind of like they took their eye off one ball to do the other.
Right.
And, you know, there is a lot of learning in there, but theirs has been substantial drop off. I do agree with Lenny. That is a concern that we got to figure out because, you know, at a certain point, they've cut off their income from personal production, yet their management income has not picked up enough yet.
It's not kept pace.
That they fall into that black hole of like, you know, I'm running out of time. So, I do that. I guess that's it for me. I mean, we're just trying to figure out as, I think our bigger issue is, you know, more equitable, going forward next year as, Mario and Lenny, you know, they get promoted and move up the ladder.
Right.
And, we don't really have a progression of how we do it as a company because we have two people that run our organization that are kind of holding tight on it.
So
we've got a concern on our ceiling.
Curtis, I think that should be October. Like, I'd like to spend that whole meeting, how we approach that moving forward. Exactly what Mike said. So, for that particular subject, because I think your insight would be really helpful, about how 2022 will look, you know, for the three of us.
Okay.
I think it might be a good idea. We can take the first few minutes in October to kind of give you an overview, a little bit more of the hierarchy and how it works above us.
Okay.
It might be able to give you some insight in how to suggestions you'd have for us.
Okay. Yeah. I think that one's worth the whole meeting. So I don't want to rush that one. Yeah.
Okay. So
you might laugh at us, but.
These things are real. Okay. Here's a couple of things that we should talk about. You know, given what you shared with me. First of all, poaching. Let's talk about that one first. One of the things that, I did is I instituted, kind of an anti-poaching rule that, cause see what the client sees on the other side is, oh, it's equitable calling and that it's all the same. One firm, you know, one strategy, and here's somebody. And you built what I call some street cred or some equity with these clients. And so when somebody else calls them, they see equitable, which makes it a lot easier for them to have a conversation with someone. Okay. And as a result of that, you know, they may uncover some business opportunities. Then once they uncover them and go the distance, then they come and tell you, I'm talking with such and such and he wants to do X, Y, and Z. Well, so one of the things I had to do is institute a rule that, and it was a script, first of all, that went something like this. Oh, you're working with, you know, Lenny Thompson. Great. You know, I will let Lenny know, that we spoke and he will get in touch with you. Okay. That's where it stops. They go to you and they let you know. Now, that's the right thing to do. Anything more than that is self-serving. Moves beyond, you know, trying to support the team to individual selfishness. Okay? Let's call it what it is. And, what they should be doing is, there should be a penalty for that. And let's talk about what the penalty should be. If you poach another's clients and you do business, that could result in a 100% give up on any first year premium or business that's done. Now my motivation starts to change. The other part is I go and ask Lenny's permission. This client has some needs. I know you're busy. You probably, it's not big enough for you. Therefore, would you be willing to split any business that comes from this relationship? I would say 50-50, you know, on any business that comes out of this client in the first year. Okay. You can put any terms on it that you want. It can be 60-40, 50-50. And then the second year, you know, any business that comes might be, 75, 25, and then it's over after that. Okay. So you gotta put together your, memo on how we are treating, the whole idea of poaching. Now I'm sure none of them would like to have it happen to them and one of their clients. So you have to put it in their terms that they can understand. How would you feel if one of us got referred to one of your clients and ignored the fact that they had a relationship with you and we started doing business? That would not be, next thing you know, we've totally abandon any thoughts of integrity, and trust that we want to have in the organization. So we can't do that. You know, you'll resent me if I did it. And I don't want to resent you because I like you. But we have to have some kind of ethics that we abide by in our organization. So, you put together your memo. It's about ethics. It's your anti-poaching. It's about what kind of a split occurs, and how do you handle that situation? Oh, you're in good hands. You know, with Lenny, I'll let him know that we spoke. Okay? And that's the way it should go down. So let me just hear from you and ask you, how does that resonate with you?
Yeah, I mean, to me it works well. I think the difficult part for us sometimes is a lot of it happens like for our team, like we're the leader, and it happens for someone, you know, like one of our advisors. The difficult part is, you know, they're not, some of them aren't coming to us first and asking. So if I say, hey, you're going to give up 100% commission, sometimes we have to have them hit certain numbers. So it's like kind of like a catch 22 on that. But I do agree that that's something that should happen. There should be some type of penalty.
Well, the person who controls, who has the relationship, you know, with certain guidelines can set some tone and flexibility in terms of, well, if you want to be involved with this client, I will allow you to, if you come to me first, I might let you have 100%. But if you go behind my back, it's straight up 50-50.
Gotcha. And I do think it would help to send a memo out, because I know it happens a lot, whether it's my district, Mario's, Mike, I'm not sure where Brandon is, but it happens a lot where someone's like, oh, I ran into this client and they needed this. And you know, they need it right there on the spot. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like Curtis needed a life insurance on, you know, at 11 a.m., you know, on the East Coast, you know,
right.
Like that definitely didn't happen. So
yeah.
Never, at least from what I know, Mike, Mario, you can correct me. We've never sent out a memo on our end to say that. We've kind of had conversations. So maybe that's a good idea, just saying, hey, let's throw something together and collectively, I think that would be a good thing because I don't think we've ever done that.
And one of the things that I would do is maybe it's on a Zoom call, a conference call, you kind of talk from the heart and then you follow up with the memo. You know, don't just shoot out the memo first, let them digest it, talk about it, and you know, they're not going to disagree because nobody wants to see that happen to them. And in markets, I mean, it literally happened in every single market I've ever been in.
Okay. And
every single market.
It's odd to me because it seems to happen too with smaller accounts rather than big ones.
Uh-huh.
It's not even worth like taking all of it. It's worth just having a conversation and we would give a majority of it. So that's right. What I find the most of.
I think our problem, Curtis, is we have the niche markets with the school districts.
Yeah.
So, right, let's say there was an area that Lenny worked and now he's in management, gave it up, and then now somebody else is going in there and they just, instead of letting them know they ran into the client, they just do the new business.
Right.
So, and the same thing, maybe, right, we inherit clients over the years. We need to just come up with a standardization among the three of us to say, this is how it's going to go going forward. So nobody ever feels left off and can come up with a fair split.
That's right. And so I think so you've got to have some guidelines, and without guidelines, there's chaos.
Yeah.
So that's number one. That's how I would handle it.
Do you have like an example recently, I handed off a relationship to help them with an area, right? To a client. And the account that I was on, I added them on at a certain split and they rolled money in. So everybody got paid and everybody was happy. But then they went and sold the life case that generated $10,000 in commissions and left me completely off of it.
And then didn't say anything.
And they were like, oh, we closed the life case. And I was like, okay, great. What was my split? And then they're like, oh. And I was like, are you kidding?
Yeah.
Okay. So
yeah, you're gonna have to set the ground rules on any relationships that are deemed your relationships. Okay. And that holds true for anybody. So I would certainly think about that. And Michael, I don't know if you have anything to add to that.
Probably helping Chris. So.
Yeah, he might have jumped on a call real quick.
So I think he got left off a case too. He got upset and ran away.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, you got to get that straight. So that's number one. Okay. Number two, let's address the leadership development issue. When people are generally first named as a leader, they're enthralled. They feel really, really good. They put their heart and soul into it. But what they don't know is how do you achieve balance between being a leader and also being a producer. Okay. So what you have to do now is you've got to set the tone of how much of the role is going to be personal production and how much is going to be leadership. Now, you might split it out like, I need you to spend 75% of your time on production, 25% on leadership. Okay, as an example. And then they're going to need metrics for both. So when you pull out the folder on John Jones, you open it up, you've got his metrics on his personal production, and he's got metrics for leadership. Okay. And he's got to fulfill, from a coaching perspective, both things. So let's say his, what you wanted to do on leadership is some coaching, help with performance, and if you can keep them out of the administrative area to a certain extent, that would be helpful. So try to clarify what this 25% ought to look like in terms of leadership. You know, what do you want them to do that can allow them to have the best impact as leaders?
So when we promote somebody, right, that we become recruiting managers is basically what it is. So
okay.
So that's where I think it may be a little bit different, and maybe you can give a better aspect by knowing some more, right? We have to source the candidates,
right,
train them, develop them, right? It's not like Equitable saying, here, Johnny applied, interview him, right? We have to go out and run 150 interviews to find, you know, six people that we hire a year. So what tends to happen is these two gentlemen were good advisors, right? Like, the one guy was first year in the business, did over 150,000 in production, let's say. Yeah. Then we promoted him into leadership role. He gets a $25,000 salary and all of a sudden stops producing and is happy to get his 25,000, starts playing kind of CEO in the office, you know,
right. Yeah.
And then, now is making less money.
Right. And he's not happy with it. He can't be happy with that, can he?
That's where we get confused. They're like all like happy with $20,000-$25,000.
I don't think he can be happy with that.
Production going down.
Yeah.
So they're playing golf on Fridays, you know,
we don't think so either, but yeah, they don't seem to complain about money, which is blows our mind. That's where we're confused.
So what you have to do though is, you have to have some metrics in terms of, business performance. Separate those from the metrics on leadership. Okay. So if business performance is, you know, I need you to grow your productivity by 15% year over year. Okay. And, when you have your monthly, you're going to supernova these folks. So you're going to pull out your folder. You're going to bring them in and you're going to coach them and you're going to say, there's, two areas that we're going to talk about today. One is your business performance and two is your leadership. Okay. And then you're coaching them and you're saying, well, look, on a business performance, perspective, you are down, 35% year over year. You can't be happy with that. So what we need you to do is we need you to get some kind of balance between your business performance and your leadership. Now, you know, I would go off and I would say, you know, it seems like my observation is you're spending a lot of time on leadership and maybe too much time. So I need you to pare back and organize that a little bit better. And, you know, managers shouldn't get in the face of people in terms of one-on-ones once a month. That should be it. Handle people's problems, but for the most part, once a month, you bring them in and you look at their business plan and you look at their leadership functions and you coach on those. So, they need to understand where they need to allocate their time. And if you don't tell them and you just throw it up for grabs to their own devices, they're going to spend the time on the things that they like the most. Okay.
Yeah. And then the snowball effect is their production goes down. They're telling people to produce, right? And say, this is how you do it. And then they look at them and say, hey, you've only done, you know, 30 grand in GDC this year. Why am I listening to you?
Right. And they lose credibility.
Yeah.
Okay. So just like you supernova your clients, they're on the calendar, they're on the schedule. Your coaching of these individuals should be on the calendar, on the schedule. After you have a meeting, you're going to send out an agenda. These are the three things we're going to talk about. Then you're going to bring them in. You're going to talk about them. After your meeting, you're going to put together an executive summary. The executive summary is going to say, this is what we discussed. This is what we agreed to. And these are the next steps for our next session. So your file then goes back. They're on the calendar and an agenda goes out for their next meeting. Okay. So you're going to have to inspect what you expect with these folks.
I think that we hear it a lot, in all honesty, Curtis, not only from you, but from others. You know, the metrics, and that I would definitely say that stuff, it's a weakness of ours that we do not track that those things better. It's something of a big fault, not only for our leaders, our own practice, but also our new advisors. I'm not sure how, like, the best way to go about improving that.
Okay. Well, you know, okay, your metrics are your key performance indicators, as you know. And they're the things that really drive productivity in the office. Okay. So, you know, I had probably six. One was managing expenses in my cost structure. That was one. Another one might be recruiting. Another one might be productivity growth year over year. Another one might be recurring fee revenue. And then another one might be more subjective, but diversity. That's five. And then another, but they've gotten away from this one, might be on product. Now it's more about, you know, are we showing the full breadth and depth of the platform? So that becomes the sixth. And then what I did is I would get reports on each of those things on a monthly basis. I could then transfer them onto a spreadsheet. Okay. The leadership one is 50% performance and 50% subjective. Okay. The performance part is in the area of your responsibility. How are your people doing? Are they up? Are they down? To what extent are they impacting the key performance indicators that we set out? Those are goals. Now, everybody should have a business plan and strategy template in this little blue folder I'm talking about. So that when you set your meeting, you open up the business plan. It's got the SWOT analysis in there. It's got their vision. It's got some of their personal goals, a checklist. It's got all those things in there that you get a chance to talk about once a month. And you can say, hey, look, I want to commend you. You're doing a fantastic job on growth of revenue. From a planning standpoint, we need to get some improvement there. I can see that your group, the area that you're responsible for, has maybe done 10 total plans for the year. Okay. That doesn't seem a lot in that you have, you know, 150 relationships, between your team. So you've got to coach. You've got to point out areas where they're deficient, where they need to try things. So what do you think, Joe, we can do to make some improvement on that? Do we need a focus? Does your team need to be educated more? Because if you don't think it's important, they're not going to think it's important.
So,
okay.
I think
that's a mock kind of a coaching deal.
Yeah, I think a big thing happens is, like, for example, when we meet with the two people Mike was saying, our two presidents or, you know, leaders down here, you know, they're like, bring your business plan, bring your expectations, and then nothing ever follows through with it. So, you know, it just kind of goes nowhere. So we don't put that much effort into it. And then we relay that when we meet with our advisors, we kind of tell them the same thing, but we never follow through with it. If we tell them, hey, let's plan for 2022. We never look at that document again, and that is more on us as leaders. Maybe we're not finding the value in it, but, you know, talking to you, it seems like there's a lot of value in that, and maybe we should be addressing that more.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I went into offices, obviously, where there was previous manager. He did the year plan, tucked it away, never to be seen or heard from again. And so, what happened is the culture started to understand that this was all BS, that it's not serious. It's an exercise in futility. But what I did is, I set their meetings, and the first time they may have thought it was going to be BS, but by the second time when we had the meeting, they were like, oh my God, this guy's serious. And then the third time, and then all of a sudden they start coming in like prepared, you know, to make a presentation on what they were doing, how they were doing it, and how they were going to achieve their numbers. So, you know, have a monthly coaching session which lasts about 20 minutes, 30 at the most. Then have a quarterly, which is a more in-depth review of their total business. Okay? And they should have some things that are expectations. And make them feel good. So if a report comes out, I used to sit at home with a green felt tip pen or blue, and I would get a report, and I would say, I would circle things with the pen. I might put a smiley face on it or a note. Joe, great job. Keep up the great work here. So I'm trying to reinforce the positive behavior. Okay.
Gotcha.
I remember as an FA, the guy running the office, he was like, to me, he was like as big as life. And, I remember passing him in the hallway and he said to me, "Hey, Star, how you doing, Star?" And I said, "Wow, thank you. I'm trying to do the job you want me to do." He says, "Well, you're doing a damn good job. I want you to know that." Holy smokes, man. I went out like I was on cloud nine.
Yeah, our leadership team used to send signed notes when somebody did more than 10,000 a month in GDC for the month.
Yeah.
That disappeared. A lot of the things that they used to do, just like, you could tell that they're kind of just, they don't care as much as they used to. And well, it shows.
You said the operative word there, care, C-A-R-E. This stuff may seem at first like you're getting in their faces, you're inspecting what you expect, but you're demonstrating that you care about them. Think about any great coach you've ever had in your life. I don't care what you've ever done. Swim, soccer, football, tennis. The guys that pushed you were the ones that you really respected the most because they were bringing the best out of you. That's what you're doing. That's your role. Bring the best out of your people. Gotcha. Bring the best out of your CA. Have a folder for her. She's going to get at least, you know, a quarterly review on her performance. Okay.
I think, and at least this is my own self-doubt in it, is that I'm more micromanaging rather than like managing. That's just my self-doubt. Like, hey, I'm kind of nitpicking at things, but, and this is for newer advisors, but they're not as successful as they want to be. So it's, these would be good things, but I think that's what goes on, at least in the back of my mind, is I'm kind of micromanaging them on their day to day or week. But they're not as successful as they should be. So they probably need that to push them and guide them because they don't know what to do. Even though we explain it, they, you know, the next week they're like, what do I do? You know, it's like
ground. When you talk to a group, they don't think you're talking to them.
Yeah.
They're thinking you're talking to somebody else. But when you get up front, close and personal, they can't look over their shoulder. You're talking to me. You're talking to me, you know. They know you're talking to them. And, I knew a guy named Phil Blevins. I mean, this guy was unbelievable. If he saw two guys going out to lunch together, he would stop them at the elevator and say, "What are you two guys doing going out to lunch with each other? You should be going out with a client. You know, is he going to give you some business?" No. He was a guy who demanded that people wear at least a blue or gray suit and a white shirt. And if a guy came in with a funny looking suit on, you know, he would flop down a shirt and their size and the name of the tailor that they need to go and visit. I mean, this is what that guy did. And yeah. So you don't have to take it to that extreme, but, coach your people. They will love you. They will love you.
Should we put like the goals literally all out there, like in the open, like, where we're at for the whole entire branch, where we're at individually, like how extreme should we go?
Okay. Okay. Two things. One, as a branch, you can create this enemy, which is another branch. And I used to ask my people, I would say, Morristown is number one in our district. And I think that we should be the flagship in New Jersey. And I started to model or compare what Morristown was doing and what we were doing. And, I know you got to jump, Michael.
Thanks. That was actually some good ideas. I mean, simple, just stuff we should be doing that we're not.
Yeah. And
sometimes you get away from it because other stuff
happens. Other things get, stuff happens. I understand.
I think, like, you know, and I think Mara and I and Lenny and I, we had this conversation last year about the business planning for the, you know, that we do each year. And maybe we need to come up with our own.
Right.
The one that the company does, I always say to them, is useless because they're just filling a requirement that they have to do for the company to send up the numbers they want to see. And right. They probably just got to do our own internal planning separate than that.
Yeah.
And then track it, like you said, regularly with each of our management teams.
I'll give you a template. You can use mine. You can alter awesome. It. You can revise it. You can do as you please. Okay.
Thanks, Carlos. Awesome. Catch you next month. I'll see you guys a little later.
Okay. Take care. So back to this comparison. So we have the imaginary enemy, and I would inform them, and I said, God, we're getting close to these guys. You know, if we overtake them, we're going to have a huge party. And, you know, guess what? We overtook them. We became number one in the district. And so you can play something out like that. Create pride in the culture of what you're building. So be a little more hands-on, but not obtrusive. Coaching is planning, leading, organizing, and controlling. So the two things I'm going to send you is I'm going to send you this white paper. And I may have sent it to you before, and it's called The Manager as Coach. And I'd really like you to read that. Okay.
Yep.
And then I'm going to send you the business plan template. So that's one. So we're getting into, inspecting what you expect, and we're talking about leadership. What percentage of their time is going to be spent on leadership?
Yeah, because that's going to help us with our conversation next month,
yep.
too, because basically Equitable went to complexes like you used to talk about, tell us yeah. about. So we have two executive vice presidents, then Mike is the senior vice president, and then Lenny and I are vice presidents.
Okay.
One of the executive vice presidents is now the complex head.
Okay.
So now he's going to be gone half of the time.
Right.
Right. So now we're supposed to be getting promoted to the senior vice president role, just like Mike.
Okay.
In January. So the three of us are going to be equals instead of Mike overseeing us technically.
Okay. Okay.
So we have to figure out how to work together and how to build it because they don't really have an idea of how we're all going to work together.
So what are we really talking about here, guys? We're talking about getting the most out of our people. Yep. So if I looked at your Supernova scheduler and looked at the, you got clients on your schedule and then you've got your staff and your people, you've got to decide how often you're going to meet with them. You know, one might get a 4-1 level service. You might be meeting with your leadership. I met with my leadership once a month. Sometimes it was individual. And sometimes it was as a group, and so that each member of the group could share what they were doing. So I would say something like, okay, we want to cover our administrative aspects of the agenda. And the first item is poaching. And this is what I am proposing that we do for the following reasons. Let me get your feedback on that. And before we introduce this to the complex. And they say, yeah, I think it's a good idea. We need to demonstrate truth, honesty, and integrity. You know, let's do it. And I would have the admin put it out, but, you know, whatever you, however you all want to handle that. Now, then I'm going to call on Joe. Joe, why don't you give me a report on, I noticed that you had a big jump in planning. Can you tell us what, share with us what you're doing and why you're having such an impact in that area? Okay. Then I'm going to go to Bill. Bill, your life cases really have been extraordinary over the last month. Why don't you share with us what you're doing? And so what you're doing is everybody is now a part of this network helping each other drive business performance. Okay. Now the third thing that you talked about was those that aren't receiving the coaching. These are the cynical few. They're cynical because they don't think, one, it's important, two, that you're going to really follow up, that you're going to make a statement and a comment, they're going to nod their head, and then it's going to go away and not be talked about again for 6 months. What you've got to do is you've got to turn it around and get back in their face in 30 days and inspect what you expect. Okay. So new managers and producers was number four. You gotta supernova them too. We talked about that already, but, they need to understand how much of their role is management and leadership and how much of their role needs to be focused on doing business. Okay. You say, look, Joe, I think you're really getting the management function down really, really well, but it wasn't my intention for you to spend 50 or 75% of your time on management. I wanted you to spend maybe 25% of your time on management and the other 75% on generating business and productivity. Okay. So you've got to let them know what that 25% where they should be spending their time, what that should look like. Okay. I think that's probably enough for today, because I've thrown a lot at you, as always. How does this stuff resonate with you guys?
It was very helpful.
Okay. Yeah, the biggest takeaway I get from at least myself is I think I get excited to say, hey, we're going to do the business plan. We're going to do X, Y, and Z. And then we don't do it, right? Kind of what we talk about, what our managers, I see they get excited for something like, this is going to be great. And then a month later, they never bring it up. And then, you know, 2 months later, never brought up again. And something else is the new thing. So
right.
I do think a business plan would help out a lot. And, you know, I think we've got to just at least coach them and teach them what we want to see in it. So it's ready and expected when we meet with them and they are prepared, and kind of go from there.
I had a meeting with everybody. Well, I broke it down into segments, but it was how to fill out the business plan. And I told them, look, it's subject to some revision, but you have the key elements that I'm wanting to see. And I saw some really beautiful documents. And then it would go into a folder. And when it was time for their meeting, I pulled it out again.
Yep.
And okay, let's review. This is what you said you were going to try to do. Yeah. And, wow, you've exceeded my expectations and you're doing really, really well. I want you to know that.
I agree. I think the other hard part is we have to get people, and this is where we have to get people to a certain level for the year of production.
Right.
So let's say me and Mario have to get 20 people to that level. And if we've already gotten 11 of them, we really should be spending time with those 11 because they're our most productive. But we're like, hey, those 11 are good. We now need the other 9. So it's like to hit our numbers, like bigger bonuses. So then we spend more time with those 9s. So I wish it wasn't that case. Right. I wish we could do better, but that's the hiccup I see, at least within myself.
It's always the 80-20 rule. Yeah. Yep. 20% of them are going to generate 80% of your revenue. So, spend time with your winners. Yep. Okay. I mean, if I was out recruiting and a guy was doing 2 million, one of the things I would say, how are you currently being coached? And what happens is the managers felt like they had more important problems to solve than a guy doing 2 million. And they would always say, well, what do you mean? You know, you're doing 2, who's helping you get to 3 or 4? When was the last time you had lunch with your boss?
Yes. Been a long time.
And so I'm having those conversations and I'm reeling them in left and right because they want to work with somebody that cares about them. They fell off into what I write in the first chapter of my book, on Supernova Advisor Teams. They fell into what we call the comfort zone.
Okay. 100%.
Okay.
We feel we're in the comfort zone with our managers. So,
you know what? These people are your clients. You got 2 sets of clients. You got those that invest and buy products and services from you. That's one segment of a client. Then your other clients as leaders are the people that work with you. So you have to start treating them as if they were your clients.
Yep.
That's the main thing. And if you do that, look, there's a bell-shaped curve. If you take draw your X and Y axis and your bell-shaped curve and then draw 2 parallel lines. 15% of the people, no matter what you do, ain't going to do a damn thing. Then there's 15% of the people on the other end that seek that opportunity and that coaching and will do everything to excel. Then there's that 70% in between that if you spend the right amount of time with them, can allow your organization to take off. Okay? So that's the bell-shaped curve type of thing. So any last-minute comments, Mario?
I think we need to just focus on those good people that we're neglecting technically.
Yeah.
Right? And then if we bring them up, the whole team should try to chase them.
Exactly. Spend time with your winners. Coach your folks. Supernova them. Get them on the calendar. Create folders. Have their business plan template in those folders. have notes, have your executive summaries so that you can recall your previous, you know, conversations. Just short notes and bullets. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Well, this concludes our session for today. I enjoyed speaking with you all, and I look forward to our next conversation.
Yeah, definitely. Same here, Curtis.
Hey, anytime. Bye-bye. Have a great Labor Day.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.